in order to convey to mankind such knowledge which gives them a clear and intelligible conviction of the working of God in his justice and love, I have written the work in the light of truth, which leaves no gap, contains the answer to every question, and clearly shows to mankind how wonderful are the ways in creation that are upheld by many servants of his will. But God alone is holy. Words of Abrushin, author of the Grail Message. Good evening, and welcome to Truth of Life, a deep and incisive program based on a walk in the light of truth, the Grail Message, coming to you live on Reaper Network. The Grail Message is a new spiritual revelation of the truth given to mankind by the author Abrushin. It explains the will of God, which manifests as the adamantine and incorruptible laws of creation. This message does not bring a new religion and is intended as a torch to guide all serious seekers to the light and their longed for height, which is paradise. It is addressed to honest seekers only, for only such shall find. I am Dr. Tunde Agboola. A reading from the Grail Message is now brought to you. The author of the Grail Message says, and I quote, "Free yourself from all darkness. He who makes no effort to grasp the word of the Lord aright burdens himself with guilt. For your guidance, the bandage falls and believe becomes conviction. Liberation and redemption lie only in conviction. I am addressing honest seekers only. They must be able and willing to examine this objectively. Religious fanatics and irresponsible enthusiasts may hold aloof, for they are detrimental to the truth. As for the malevolent and non-objective, they shall find their sentence in the very words. The message will strike only those who still carry within them a spark of truth and a yearning to be true human beings. To all such, it will become the shining light and staff. It will lead them unswervingly out of all the chaos of the present-day confusion. The following word does not bring a new religion, but is intended as a torch to help all serious listeners or readers find the right path which leads them to the longed-for height. Only he who bestirs himself can advance spiritually. The fool who uses extraneous aids for this, in the form of the ready-made opinions of others, walks his path only as if on crutches, while ignoring his own healthy limbs. But the moment he boldly uses all the abilities which lie dormant within him, are within his call to help in his ascent, he is employing the talent entrusted to him in accordance with his Creator's will, and will easily overcome all obstacles that seek to divert him. Therefore, awake. Genuine faith lies only in conviction, and conviction arises solely through an inflexible weighing and examining. See to it that you stand truly alive in the wonderful creation of your God. Approaching. Further reading from the Grail Message. What seek ye? What seek ye? What is all this tumultuous agitation? It permeates the world like a ferment, and a flood of books overwhelms all peoples. Scholars pore over ancient writings, investigating and pondering until spiritually exhausted. Prophets arise to warn, to predict. Suddenly, from all sides, people strive feverishly to spread new light. Thus, it rages now over the troubled soul of mankind, not refreshing and invigorating, but scorching, consuming, absorbing the last vestiges of strength still left to the afflicted one in this gloominess of the present time. Here and there also a whispering is heard, rumors of a growing expectation of something impending. Every nerve is restless, tense with subconscious longing. There is seething and surging, and over everything lies a kind of ominously brooding stupor, fraught with disaster. What must it bring? Confusion, despondency, and ruin, unless a mighty hand tears asunder the dark layer that now envelops the terrestrial globe spiritually. With the slimy tenacity of a dirty morass, absorbing and smothering every ascending free light touch before it has become strong. With the gruesome silence of a swamp, suppressing, disintegrating, and destroying every good volition even in the bud before any action can arise from it. But the seeker's cry for light, imbued with strength to cleave through the mire, is turned aside and dies away beneath an impenetrable canopy, assiduously set up by the very people who think they help. They offer stones for bread. Look at the innumerable books. They do not animate. They only weary the human spirit. And this is the proof of the barrenness of all they offer. For whatever wearies the spirit is never right. Spiritual bread immediately refreshes. Truth revitalizes. And light animates. Simple people must surely despair when they see what walls are being built around the beyond by so-called psychic science. Who among the simple is to grasp the learned sentences and strange expressions? Is the beyond then intended exclusively for psychic scientists? They speak of God, but is it necessary to set up a university in order, first of all, to acquire the abilities to recognize the conception of the Godhead? To what length will this mania, which is mostly rooted only in ambition, drive them? Readers and listeners stagger along like drunkards from one place to another, unsteady, not free in themselves, one-sided, because they have been diverted from the simple path. Listen, you despondent ones, lift up your eyes, you who are seriously seeking. The way to the highest lies open to every human being. Proficiency in learning is not the gate to it. Did Christ Jesus, that great example on the true path to the light, choose his disciples among the learned Pharisees, among the scribes? He took them from the simple natural people because they had no need to struggle against this great delusion that the way to the light is hard to master and must be difficult. This thought is man's greatest enemy. It is a lie. Thus, turn away from all scientific knowledge, where it is a question of what is most sacred in man, which must be fully grasped. Leave it alone, for science, being a product of the human brain, is piecework and must remain piecework. Consider, how should scientific knowledge acquired by laborious study lead to the Godhead? What, after all, is knowledge? Knowledge is what the brain can conceive. Yet, how very limited is the perceptive capacity of the brain, which remains firmly bound to space and time, even eternity, and the meaning of infinity cannot be grasped by a human brain, just that which is inseparably linked with the Godhead. But the brain stands silent before the incomprehensible power streaming through all that exists, from which it derives its own activity, the power which everyone intuitively perceives as a matter of course every day, every hour, every moment, whose existence science too has always recognized. Whereas with the brain, that is, with the knowledge and intellect, one seeks in vain to grasp and comprehend it. So inadequate is the activity of a brain, the basis and instrument of science. And this limitation is naturally also affects what it produces, hence all science itself. Thus, science does indeed subsequently help to elucidate, classify, and arrange all that it receives ready-made from the creative power which precedes it. But when it seeks to assume leadership or offer criticism, it must inevitably fail so long as it binds itself so firmly to the intellect, that is, to the perceptive capacity of the brain, as it has done hitherto. For this reason, erudition, along with those who are just themselves to it, always remains clinging to details, whereas each man carries within himself as a gift the great inconceivable whole, and is fully capable of attaining to the noblest and highest without laborious study. Therefore, away with this needless torture of spiritual enslavement. Not for nothing does the great master extort us. Become like children. He who bears within himself the firm volition for what is good and strives to give purity to his thoughts has already found the way to the highest. All else will then be added unto him. This requires neither books nor spiritual strain, neither asceticism nor solitude. He will become sound in body and soul, freed from all pressure of morbid pondering, for all exaggeration is harmful. We are meant to be human beings, not hothouse plants, which, through one-sided cultivation, succumbs to the first puff of wind. Awake, look around you, listen to your inner voice. That alone can open the way. Heed not the dissensions of the churches. The great bringer of truth, Christ Jesus, the personification of divine love, did not concern himself with creeds. After all, what are the creeds today? A shackling of the free spirit of man, enslavement of the divine spark dwelling within you, dogmas that seek to compress the work of the Creator and also his great love into forms molded by the human mind. This indicates a dishonoring of divinity, a systematic disparaging. Every serious seeker is repulsed by such things because they prevent him from ever experiencing the great reality within himself. As a result, his longing for the truth becomes increasingly hopeless, and finally, he despairs of himself and of the world. Therefore, awake. Shatter the walls of dogma within you. Tear off the bandage, so that the pure light of the highest may reach you undimmed. Then your spirit will soar aloft in exaltation, jubilantly sensing all the great love of the Father, which knows no limitation of earthly intellect. You will at last know that you are a part of this love. You will grasp it easily and completely, unite with it, and thus gain new strength daily and hourly as a gift, enabling you to ascend out of the chaos as a matter of course. End of quote. This is Truth of Life, a deep and incisive program on the Grail Message. You just listened to a reading from the Grail Message. Now, for genuine seekers who wish to interact with us, We will now call the telephone numbers through which you can contact us on this program. And the telephone numbers are 0705-298-0298. Again, 0705-298-0298. Or 0805-944-1123. 0805-944-1123. For your text messages, 0803-315-7493. For your text messages. All right, we have some text messages here, and somebody writes, please explain destiny. Can we link destiny with karma or law of sowing and reaping? Yes, destiny is nothing but the outworking of the law of sowing and reaping. That means what you sow is what you reap. And so that is the destiny of man. Man is the architect of his own destiny. And we do this sowing through our thoughts, our words, our deeds, and that which flows from deep within our hearts. And this sowing, which we have sown, will eventually return to us. Because in accordance with the law of creation, the law of cycle, the cycle will close where it begins. Since we are the starting point of that cycle of sowing, eventually that which we have sown, which we travel through the universe, will eventually return to us after being strengthened on its way by similar forms, in order to discharge itself onto the starting point at time of harvest. Now, this time of harvest can be in the same earth life where we are now, or it can come when we leave the flesh and enter into the beyond, or again when we reincarnate. So it must come. It must, whether we like it or not, whether we want it or not. That is destiny. But destiny itself can be changed. In other words, one can change it by changing that which is sowing. For example, somebody who has been doing evil is destined to reap evil. But if he makes a decision, a volition, to stop doing evil and start doing that which is good, then it marks the end of the enforced atonement which he must make. And eventually, the good he is doing will also return to him. So that is how we can change our destiny, by doing that which is good, so that good can return to us. Well, we have a caller. Shola is calling from Badagry. Hello, you are on, Shola.
Yeah, this is Shola. I have to ask for Badagry.
Go on.
What is the significance of all the signals of destiny, predestiny, and fortune on human existence of life?
Destiny, predestiny, and what?
Destiny, predestiny, and fortune.
And fortune.
And fortune on human existence of life.
All right. Destiny, we already explained. What you sow is what you reap. But predestination is also similar. That is to say, a man has sown a seed of evil. Then he has already prepared a path for himself in his earth life, whereby on his journey of earth life, that evil he has sown in the past, whether in this earth life or in the previous ones, it will come across him on his journey. That is to say, He has himself prepared it beforehand. He is the one who prepared it. It is not possible for anything to come to man without him giving cause for it, either in his thoughts, words, or deeds. Either it concerns our fortunes or our misfortunes. Everything that comes to us, it comes as a result of the fact that we have at one time or the other given cause or given rise to it. It is not possible for something to come to us without us giving cause for it. That is how the laws of the Almighty Creator work. Okay. Another caller on the line. This time, Mr. Nwoye from Akumojo. All right. Mr. Nwoye, you can call back. The telephone number 0705-298-0298 or 0805-944-1123. All right, more text messages coming in. Some people do communicate with the dead. Is the voice they hear from the dead one or another evil spirit pretending to be the dead? No, there are some people who have the gift of communicating with the dead. They are called mediums. They can hear the departed or they can see the departed. Because when we die, life continues. Only the physical body is dead and buried, but the soul continues to live. And there are those who have the gift to communicate with the dead. The medium has a certain ability, and that ability is to hear or to see the departed. The departed himself wears a cloak of a finer consistency than the physical one. And the medium has his own inner eyes to open for him in order to see, or his inner ears open for him in order to hear what the departed is actually saying. So it is not something that is fantasy, it is real. When somebody dies, you can also send message to those who are here on earth through the help of one who is called a medium. Now somebody writes a text message. He says, if a woman wears trinkets, trousers and makeup and all that at the time of her death, will she appear in the beyond with all that? When we pass into the beyond, the cloak or the form of our body that we wear in the beyond, it depends largely on how we have lived our earth life here on earth. For example, somebody who is always doing that which is evil, then his ethereal body, that body which he must wear when he passes into the beyond, will be ugly. The features will be ugly, and such a person will also be ugly, because through the activity here, it transfers itself into that which we must, how we must live our life in the beyond. On the other hand, somebody that is doing good, we also is already preparing the cloak which he will wear when he enters in the beyond to be of a beautiful and more noble nature than somebody who is doing that which is evil. So that is what matters in this instance. For example, it is not what the gold or the trouser and so on you wear, but what is the nature of the activity we engage ourselves in. And that is what matters, and that's what will determine how we'll appear when we enter into the beyond. All right, another caller. Sebastian is calling from Ibafo.
Yeah. Good evening.
All right, good evening. Good evening. Yeah.
The question I want to ask is this. Because I find it hard to spread a word called greenity. Each time I am associating myself with people to share about greenity, what they do tell me is they are culty. I want to really ask, is it true that they are culty? Because each time I hear the words, I find truth inside, but I find it difficult for me to discuss in the public with people, both in a Muslim society or in Christian society. My question now is it occulting, as people are saying? That is just what I want to ask.
All right. Now, you yourself, you can decide for yourself. The great message is available all over the country, in major bookshops, at great centers and great information centers. It is openly available. Even if you go on the internet, you can get a book, the UC occult book sent or available openly. So do not listen to what people are saying. The great message is exclusively addressed to those who are genuinely seeking. It is not addressed to everybody. It's only to those who are seeking. If you are a seeker, then you can get a copy of the great message by going to the great centers or great information centers, which are spread nationwide. You can also get the books at major bookshops. All right. More text messages coming in. Please explain this quotation. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. Yes, Jesus Christ said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. The house referred to here referred to the house of God. The house of God is the entire creation. And in this creation, there are many mansions, meaning that there are many regions, there are many planes. That is the meaning. Beginning with the plane or the region that lies closest to the divine kingdom. Know that the divine kingdom is not part of creation. It stands above the entire creation. And this divine kingdom is not part of creation. So the region that lies closest to that divine kingdom is the primordial spiritual kingdom, where those exist that were made in the image of God, those who are the first creations, will continue that after taking this call from Nonye from Akumojo. Hello, Nonye, you are on.
Yeah.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah.
You are on.
Yeah.
Yes, good evening.
I have to ask a question.
Yeah.
To trap that and then jobs in the church, is it the right way to worship our Lord?
For what?
Clapping that and then jobs in the church, is it the right way to worship our Lord?
Clapping and dancing. All right. Now, we human beings, we are falling so deeply. We are falling so far that now, we first of all must learn to recognize the will of our Creator. And this will, which manifests as the laws of creation, is the first thing we must know. When we now understand this, then we will know how we should behave, how we should act, even in the house of God. And so, the first thing is to know this will. I will advise you, the one that is asking this question, take a copy of the great message and examine it. Now back to our former question concerning the house of God. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. So the the people who are doing a revision of the Bible, in some revisions, they now changed it to mean that in my father's house, there are many rooms. Because they could not understand how can you have mansions in a house. They thereby distort and debase the teachings of Jesus Christ. The house is the house, is the creation itself. And this creation is so vast, so big. Indeed, the first creation, that is the primordial spiritual, which lies closest to the divine kingdom, there live those who are made in the image of God. That is, the primordial spiritual beings. They are the ones made in the image of the Almighty Creator. They are the ones closest to His perfection. Then comes the spiritual creation, or the spiritual realm, the lowest part of which is where the paradise of the human spirit lies. Then there is also the realm of substantiality, where the souls of animals originate. Finally comes the world of matter, which is divided into two parts, the ethereal world and this gross material world. If you are to look at this gross material world, this physical world alone, and you look into the night sky, and you even look at the, you see myriads and myriads of stars and so on, and even the scientists have already explained, investigated, and you find that there are millions and millions of galaxies, solar systems. And yet, this physical world is the smallest, it is the lowest, it is the densest of the entire creation. So the creation is very vast. It is our duty as human spirits that have been permitted to enter into the material world for our development, to learn to know the will of our Creator. If you are a genuine seeker, you find the answers in the Grail message. Now, more text messages here. How can someone's prayer be answered? When you talk about prayer, you must learn to obey the law that governs prayer. And that law says that if you do not have the earnest yearning or the inner urge to pray, then one should refrain from praying. Because if a prayer is not felt deeply, true and true, it is of no effect. It has no meaning. That is one. Secondly, when we want to pray, we should not pray by repeating and repeating the petitions. We should not be shouting. We should follow the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when He said that if you want to pray, do not be like the Pharisees, who love to stand at the street corner to be noticed by the people while praying. Do not be like the pagans, who love to shout and repeat, thinking that they will be heard for much of their shouting. But if you want to pray, go to the corner of your room, and in quietness and purity of heart, pray to your Father who is in heaven. That is how we should pray. And then when we are petitioning, we should not petition for things that do not really bother us. Don't just be talking and praying for this and that, which has no meaning. Because such words that do not flow from deep within our hearts will eventually dissolve into nothingness. And then we are thereby fostering hypocrisy. Pray only for that which bothers you. For example, a child does not run to his father asking for seven things at the same time, but he will ask for only that which is really troubling him. And that is how we should when we are approaching our Creator, petitioning for one thing or the other. Above all, we must pray in purity of heart. It is not the fervor alone that pushes the prayer up, but the purity. When the prayer is pure, it is light. Then, in accordance with the law of gravity, law of spiritual gravity, it must rise to those regions in the beyond, in those luminous heights where prayers are answered. Okay, more text messages here. Please explain rapture. Now, this issue of rapture has been misunderstood by many. Many imagine that the rapture means that the Lord will appear in the sky and those of his who are the anointed will now rise into the sky to meet the Lord. And that's what they call rapture. But that's not what rapture means. Rapture is the state of bliss, supreme happiness for the human spirit. That occurs when man, for those who are in paradise, they experience continuously this state of supreme happiness. Man here on earth can occasionally also feel it during such moments of deep sorrow or great joy. At such moments, the intuition is such that it superimposes itself on everything and pushes all mundane, trivial thoughts far into the background. And it is only he who lives in accordance with the laws of God can eventually find his way to a spiritual kingdom, which is paradise, where he can then continually experience rapture. Somebody writes, Tony, can someone die and get married in another town? No, that is not possible. It's not possible for one to die here and then to reappear in another place and then get married. Those are superstitious stories. It's not true. It's not possible. All right, Mr. Shunekon is calling from Ikotun. All right, we have more text messages here. Is it true that there is no day and night in heaven? When you talk about heaven, it depends on which region you are referring. For example, in the material world, depending on the region, the material world. You know, the material world has two parts, the ethereal and gross material. This gross material world itself has many planes. The densest is the physical world. There is also the medium gross matter, which is the next plane of existence after this physical world. Then there's also the plane of fine gross matter. In fine gross matter, that's where our thoughts take on form. In medium gross matter, that's where our words take on form. So all these gross material planes, the system of day and night is just like what we have here on earth. But in the ethereal world, it is different. We'll talk about that after taking this call from Mr. Adekoya in Abeokuta. Hello, Mr. Adekoya, you're on. You're on, Mr. Adekoya.
Yeah, good evening, sir.
Good evening. Good evening, you're on.
Hello, good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Yeah, I really wanted to spotlight on throwing of a first allowing into the church. I really want to know if it is bad or not, and offering his tithe and everything.
You've given your first salary to the pastor. Is that the question? All right, and that's tithe and all that. Look, tithe giving was an injunction given at a certain time for a certain purpose. But unfortunately, today it has been abused. And whatever it is you give to your pastor, to the church, whether in terms of money or goods, it links you only to the church. It does not at the same time link you to your creator. For God and the church are not one and the same. Mr. Sebastian is calling from Ibafo.
Yeah.
All right, you are on.
Yeah. Please, I want you to throw more light on Adam and Eve, the creation of Adam and Eve.
All right.
Why they tell you Eve has to convince Adam to eat apple. How is that corner? I want to really understand about it. And again, on this fire and heaven, what is the creation and what is the purpose? Is it that God purposely creates a fire?
All right.
Or it was created because of the destruction of men? And the last question I want to ask is the death of Jesus Christ. Why was he crucified? Was he meant to be killed? Did God create him to be killed or something else? I just want to know those questions. I want to know more like about it.
All right.
Thank you.
Now, talking about Adam and Eve and the apple, is a pictorial rendition of the temptation that happened to the human couple from the serpent. But when you read the Great Message, you get a clearer picture of this. This was given as a result of, that's the way human beings could understand it. Now, the apple in this case refers to the temptation. The serpent, that is Lucifer, approached the woman, knowing fully well that the woman is the stronger spiritually. If the woman falls, then man must fall. So he approached the woman. The temptation here refers to displaying before the woman a goal which actually does not belong to the woman, which goal looks pleasant to the eye, and yet it is not the goal of the woman. And that goal that the tempter placed before woman is motherhood. The reason why he placed the goal of motherhood before the woman is to know is because he wanted to bring to the fore the physical sexual instinct. That was his plan. Knowing fully that if you place motherhood as the highest goal of woman, is the physical sexual instinct that will be emphasized. Whereas the goal of the woman is higher than that. Motherhood is the goal of the animal, but for the human spirit, the goal is higher. The goal of the woman is to absorb the power of God because of the delicacy of her intuition, and then allow this power to flow into the material environment. But by placing a wrong goal before her, she is more at the same time cutting the woman off from paradise, and by the same token, cutting the entire mankind from paradise. All right. Okwa is calling from Maza. Okwa, you are on. Okwa, we are on.
I'm on.
Yes, go on, please.
Hello?
Go on.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Hello, good evening, doctor.
You are on, please, go on.
I want to ask you a question.
Go on.
My question is this. In that 1,000 years, that the devil will be banned, that the devil will be not existing in that 1,000 years, which people will be ruling this world by then? That's number one question. And the second one is this. By the time operation of the Antichrist will commence on this earth, will he come to a human being, or will he be assisted as a spiritual being? That is my question.
All right, okay. In the first place, you are misunderstanding the concept. Now, the devil, for your information, has already been bound. I'll repeat, the devil has been bound. It is for that reason that we are now having a message called the Grail message, so that the right principle that can direct the human spirit to their spiritual height is now available. Before the devil was bound, there was a combat between Pacifer, who is a son of the light, and Lucifer. Personal combat in which the Holy Spirit is wrested away from Lucifer, which Holy Spirit he was using to misdirect the human spiritual current. And in the right hand, this same principle, the great principle, is now directing the human spirit back to their origin, which is paradise. And talking of Antichrist, the Antichrist is Lucifer himself. And all those who he is able to influence, those who subject everything to the intellect, are Antichrist. That is, they base all their decision on the intellect alone. Those are Antichrist. Now, let's announce some public lectures which are coming up in the month of February. You are cordially invited to public lectures based on the Grail message. Date, Sunday, 16 February 2014, Venue, N&K Hotel. Number 1, Abu Alfred Street, Jojo Bus Stop, Obawole, Lagos. Topic, Only the man who lives in the laws of God is free. Time of lecture, 4 p.m. Also, on Sunday, 23rd of February 2014, comes a public lecture. Venue is Kelvin Spice Kitchen, Alagbule Roundabout, Lagos. Topic, The New Covenant. Time of lecture, 4 p.m. At the lectures, you'll be free to ask any question about life and existence and creation in general. Now, we come to the end of today's transmission. For genuine seekers who may still interact with us after this program, the telephone number is to call 0705-298-0298 or 0803-315-7493. With my words, I lead to God and also to Jesus. However, in a more vital way than has been known in the past, and not as people have trimmed it through their propensity for spiritual comfort. Words of Abru Shin, author of the Grail Message. Until we meet next Sunday on the same program, I am Dr. Tunde Agboola, wishing you good evening.